And a hearty welcome to the Running Anthropologist podcast, episode number 60. I am your host, Mark Lane Holbert, and our guest today is the 30-year going race director of the Gasparilla Distance Classic that is held here in Tampa Bay every spring, Susan Harmeling. And Susan is really, it's an amazing episode because she's got some perspective to share about putting together a race that goes on year long and what it's like to do that from scratch, how it's grown over the years, as well as some of the magic that that happens around distance running events, from the expo to the volunteers to the community foundation, the work that they do. I think you'll really enjoy this. It's an inspiring thing for the holiday season, as well as getting us off on the right foot in 2022. And with any luck, we're going to be back at it with in-person events throughout the running world, but we're hoping to have this one because the last couple of years have been virtual, like many running events. She'll talk a little bit about that too, what goes into making that decision, and some of the challenges that that they've had. So can't wait to share it with you, and from our family here at Running Anthropologist to yours, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a joyous start to the new year. Peace and blessings. Let's get started with this episode. Welcome to the Running Anthropologist, Susan Harmeling, who is currently the executive director of the Gasparilla Distance Classic Association, who she says is the glorified title for the race director of Gasparilla. But that in and of itself is maybe not that impressive to you. It is to me. But what is more impressive is that she's been doing that job for 30 years and has seen Gasparilla through a lot. It's changed a ton. We're going to ask her all about that. But before we do so, I just want to welcome you to the podcast, Susan. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So the way that I always start off interviews, this is about running culture, and we do a lot in Florida, and particularly in Tampa Bay. I'd like to ask you about your own running roots and how that fed into you finding Gasparilla eventually.
Well, my running roots are not too deep. I ran recreationally. I have participated in three races in my 66 years. One was Peachtree, getting ready for the Marine Corps Marathon. Marine Corps was my second one, and then the Cowtown 10K. I ran to stay fit and to keep my weight down, but I would not call me a competitive nor serious runner by any means. I tend to enjoy riding my road bike more, working out at CrossFit a little bit more. So saving my knees.
You know, I like that analogy, a serious runner. I'd be interested to hear what other people's what other people's definition are for a serious runner. But I would counter that you've contributed seriously to the running community, even though you say you're a recreational runner. I'm curious to know, in that time when you did that competitive running, what was that like, you know, preparing for those races? And then is that the reason why you found Gasparilla?
Actually, the only one that I did before I was fortunate enough to get the position of race director with Gasparilla was the Cowtown 10K. And that was back when I was 24, 25 years old. The most meaningful run for me was the Marine Corps Marathon in 1997. And more important than actually doing the marathon was the 4 months of training leading up to it. It was such a rewarding experience to go through from beginning to end. I mean, your eating habits change, your sleeping habits change. It made me into a better person overall. And though I didn't have a particularly good day running Marine Corps, I did cross the finish line, and that was a confidence builder. I've been told that confidence is the willingness to try. And had I not had the willingness to try to run Marine Corps, I wouldn't have benefited in the ways that I did, which were vast. So I don't know if that's a good answer to your question, Mark, but
no, I think it's a great answer.
It certainly made a huge emotional and physical impact on me. And it was encouraging to see so many different ages and shapes and sizes doing Marine Corps. I mean, it that's the people's marathon, and it certainly lives up to the tagline. It was a great experience.
That's really interesting. I also can really relate to that confidence is a willingness to try, but then also seeing that able to be translated, that it parallels with other things in life. I hear a lot of people say that about the marathon in particular, but really for any challenging distance that they run. What was special to you about, you know, what drew you towards being a race director, and what was special in particular about Gasparilla for you?
You know, it was a position that I never dreamed of having. I was the first event coordinator that the city of Tampa hired for the new Tampa Convention Center back in, we opened it up, I believe, in 1991. And one of the first events that I coordinated as an event coordinator, the new building wasn't done yet. It was the Gasparilla Health and Fitness Expo at Curtis Hickson Hall, which, I mean, that goes way, way back. There's a park on that property now. So I got to know the board members and some of their volunteers through coordinating the expo for them. And when the position became available, there's only been two actual paid race directors, Jeanette Park, who was there for 8 years before she left and moved out of the area. And then I came on board in July of 1992. And, I didn't really know anything about running. And one of the questions that I had an interview with the board, it was a 12-member board that all got to interview me. And they asked me what I knew about directing road races. And I knew absolutely nothing about directing road races. I had been an event coordinator. I was on Home Shopping Network back in the early days of Home Shopping Network, so I knew how to sell. I knew how to coordinate an event, but I think what made me stand out in the interview process was I had the good sense to go to Roadrunners Club of America, and they had a book that was titled How to Direct a Road Race. And so I pulled that book out of my briefcase and held it up and said, this is really all I know about directing a road race. And so that's how I became Gasparilla's race director. And, you know, you bring a lot of, when you hear people say everything that's happened to you before now has led up and prepared you for where you are now, that could never be more true with me and my position. It prepared me to do many things that was required for directing a road race. But the rest I learned from the folks that had been with the organization since 1978. They took me under their wing. They taught me. They let me ask questions. And really preparing for the first race taught me more, you know, than I could ever have learned prior to becoming the race director. It was a kind of a learn as you go, and then you begin to gain your confidence, and you start to see things that you think could be better, and you begin to make changes. Once I was able to earn the trust of the board, I knew nothing about directing a road race, Mark. Absolutely nothing.
But much like anything,
answer that question.
Much like anything in life, though, you learn by doing. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that those transferable skills, your organization, your experience with people, and kind of managing things in general, I'm sure that all translated to the Gasparilla organization, to road racing, and that fantastic book. Do you think that the Roadrunners book really helped? Did it have most of the things that you had to consider?
It absolutely did. I mean, it certainly, the book is applicable to any event. It might not have fit specifically to the needs of the Gasparilla Distance Classic in 1993. But it certainly gave me a kind of a working knowledge on paper of what was to come.
Well, that's really interesting. You think about some of these large international races and all the things that goes into them, and then you can kind of boil them down into certain categories, and then a book like that obviously covers those, and then you know what to ask and you know what to expect, or what maybe is unexpected that you have to still look into. But I really like that sense of just being willing to do it because you believed in the organization and you knew that running was a thing that you believed in. Over the years, I'm sure that these past few years have been unique, but how would you characterize your time kind of up until the pandemic of how Gasparilla Distance Classic grew and changed over that time? What were some of the highlights?
When I first came on board, we had right at 12,000 runners, and it was the 15K and 5K. That was it. The Gasparilla Distance Classic began in 1978, specifically to raise money for the Girls Clubs of Tampa Bay. And over time, they added a couple more charities. Since I took over, well, in 2000, because of my experience with Marine Corps, we decided to give a marathon and a half marathon a bid, and it was at a different time of year because we did not want to hurt the 15K and 5K for which the organization was built upon. And over time, the city came to us and asked us if we would combine the 15K and 5K with the marathon and half marathon over one weekend. The marathon only lasted about 10 years. It didn't grow the way that we wanted it to grow. We didn't feel like closing down 26.2 miles of Tampa for 1,700 runners was a worthy ask for the city. So the half marathon was growing leaps and bounds. So we kept the half marathon, 15K and 5K on Saturday, half marathon, and an 8K on Sunday. Since I took over, the race has doubled in size. I mean, in prior to the pandemic, we were 30, 31,000 consistently. It's hard, a lot of race directors have been in this business as long as I have. I stay in contact with them. And the best part about what we do is that we make folks' lives better. We give them the opportunity to come out in a safe environment, to set a goal, to reach that goal. And I always tell our board, we are in the business of touching lives, of making memories. And that to me is what's special about what we do and what I do professionally.
You really do get a sense, particularly if you are here in Tampa Bay, you don't necessarily just come for that weekend. You get the sense that it's an ongoing effort that, people kind of work their year into that pattern of training for Gasparilla. And that's kind of the way, climate-wise, Florida allows you to train is for events in January, February, maybe up till March. For you personally, how do you see that year cycle going, and what kind of things does the Gasparilla Distance Classic do throughout the year to connect with the community and support and kind of lead up to the work of that weekend?
Well, first of all, the planning for the next year begins actually with the current race weekend, because we are always watching and learning from what's going on. And we have a session immediately following race weekend where we pick everything apart and we identify things that we could have done better. So from a planning standpoint, it's 365 days a year. What we do throughout the year, well, first of all, when I started in 1992, I was the only full-time employee. Everything else was volunteer. I did everything. Everything from volunteers to shirts to sponsorships, operations, A to Z. It was all me. And over time, as the position grew, we added another full-time employee. We have two, still, we only have two full-time employees, and we have some seasonal folks that are very good at what they do. They come in starting in December, January to help us ramp up a race weekend. But I get out into the community as much as I can, speaking to running clubs, giving them an opportunity to speak to me as the representative of Gasparilla and to, you know, maybe ask some hard questions that they've got and get the answers straight from me. We're in constant communication with our partners, with our runners. We, you know, we'll send an e-blast once a month until we get up to the busy time, which is January and February. We want to stay in contact with them. We might not be able to reach out and touch them physically, but we can certainly do so through social media. And that's the way that the world is going from a marketing standpoint, is podcasts like what you're doing and social media. So we do our best to try and hit on all of those buttons to keep an ongoing relationship with our previous participants that might be thinking about doing Gasparilla. You mentioned Florida. This is really the only time that, you know, January, February is the best time to run an event in Florida. We get quite a few folks that come from the Northeast and the Midwest. I mean, Florida is a great place to be in February. So up until the pandemic, we had a healthy economic impact on the city of Tampa because we would get 3,500, 4,000 folks from out of state. So we had a tremendous economic impact on tourism here in the Tampa Bay area.
That's interesting. I was just going to say I'm the beneficiary of some of that in that I'm a member of a local running club, and my grandparents used to come down and run Gasparilla since the 90s, so they're beneficiaries of your work too. And that was their destination race in the winter, so it goes back pretty far. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, and that's connected to what you were just saying, is I know quite a few local youth running clubs and community centers train for the kids their one event of the year to run Gasparilla and give them running shoes, provide the training, provide the coaches. What has that interaction been like for you, and what sort of community organizations do you guys partner with the most?
Are you speaking about our kids running program?
Yes.
Okay. So years ago, we started our kids running program, and it started out with one little school, and it has now morphed into 350 to 400 kids that are all part of the after-school program with the City of Tampa Parks and Recs Department. We haven't taken on the task of getting into the Hillsborough County school system. That's a little bit of a daunting one for us, but we do, you know, the events are put on in conjunction with the City of Tampa. We're one of three events that are in the City of Tampa charter as an official City of Tampa event. So we felt like it was a good idea for us to give back to the City of Tampa by getting these kids all from inner city playgrounds, economically challenged areas, and train them for 6 weeks and prepare them to run the final 2 miles of the half marathon on race weekend. And in doing that, they get a pair of shoes, they get a shirt, some other goodies, some incentives along the way. We are touching these kids' lives, and I'll go back to confidence. We are helping them to build their confidence by giving them an opportunity to come out and be a part of a major event in the city of Tampa. And not only that, what we actually do, Mark, we train them for 6 weeks, and then on Sunday morning, the day of the half marathon, we put them on buses, we bring them down to Bayshore Boulevard, and for an hour and a half, they actually volunteer and cheer for the half marathoners.
Yes.
at the 11-mile mark, which you know, if you run a distance, you know that the last 2 miles of an event can be your hardest. So they make signs and they get a feel for what it's like to train and run 13.1 miles, which I think is more beneficial in some ways than them. And hearing the thank yous from the runners, I mean, the appreciation to these kids is phenomenal. We don't get a whole lot of spectators out on Bayshore at 7 mm-hmm. o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So these kids become our spectators, and they're thanked over and over and over again, and they're high-fived over and over and over again. So they get that feel of doing something good for the community, and at the same time, when it's their turn to run, they get a feeling for what it's like to run past an aid station and to be given water or Gatorade, just like the rest of our participants are, and then to cross the finish line and have their finisher's medal placed around their neck. We've got kids that started the program that are now parents, and their kids are in the program. So we're not only educating the kids, also they're taking what they learn home to their parents, and we're impacting their lives in that way. So it's a program that is near and dear to our heart. This year it's going to be called Pepper Jack's Kids Running Program, because our parrot now has a name. It's Pepper Jack. So we're real excited to kind of fold out that brand with the kids running program. And we weren't able to bring them out to Bayshore last year for obvious reasons because of COVID, but they did their runs on their parks, and they made it as big of a deal as we would make it on Bayshore Boulevard.
That's fantastic.
So we're hopeful that we can get them back to Bayshore this year.
Me too. That's wonderful. And I'll be posting a link so that people can see, if they're not familiar with the Run Gasparilla mascot, who is now, as you mentioned, just recently, just the last week, named Pepper Jack. I think that'll be a great draw for those youth programs too. And I should also mention, that's how I learned about the program, is just seeing the kids running through my community from the local rec center. Just amazing coaching. The kids are great. They're motivated. They love the shoes. I'm a local coach, and I live right near Chamberlain High School. So like I said, I see them training the weeks leading up. And then, of course, when I run the half, I see them at the end volunteering. So it's a beautiful full circle kind of thing for them. I really, really love that part of your organization. And I hope it keeps going strong. So let's jump on talking about volunteers. I know that obviously the past few years have been very different. You guys did the best you could. You had a downscaled expo. You did a kind of race on Bayshore. You made things work. But looking forward to this year and to years with no COVID, we hope, or less COVID, where we were able to run safely. What are the changes that have been happening at the expo? What do volunteers do at the expo and on the course? I'd love to hear a little bit more about what that looks like in a normal year, that race
in
weekend.
In a normal year, when was the last time we had a normal year? So in a normal year, we've got an aid station every mile of all four distances, and we have a volunteer group of a minimum of 15 that are working these aid stations. So on Saturday, it's 9 plus 1 for the 15K, and then for the 5K, it's 3 plus 1, and then on Sunday, it's 13 plus 1. You do the math. That's a lot of volunteers, and that's just out on the course, filling water cups and giving it to the runners, and mixing Gatorade to give to the runners. They're out there at 4 o'clock in the morning to start prepare to get everything ready for the runners when they come by. But the aid stations aren't the only place that we have volunteers. I mean, you mentioned the expo, and I'll get to that in just a second, but we have start line volunteers that distribute water to the runners when they're going into their area. We have 8 different waves in the distances, and so we have to have volunteers that control the waves behind the wave that's getting ready to start. That takes 50 to 60 volunteers. In the finish line, on race morning, we have to unwrap every single medal that's going to be distributed to the finishers as they cross the finish line. So in a normal year, you're looking at 6,000 in the 15K, 13,000 in the 5K. Next day, half marathon, 6,000, and then around 5,000 in the 8K. But that's an early morning for our volunteers. And to get that many medals unwrapped and up on the medal stand, you're looking at probably 100 volunteers. And then after that's done, they're there, and it's a very rewarding position for the kids that work in this area. They're there to put the finishers' medals around the people's necks and see the reaction that those medals bring about to the runners that have just crossed the finish line.
It's amazing.
We also distribute water and Gatorade there. So lots of volunteers in that area. Did you have a question about that?
No. I was just going to say it's mind-boggling when you think about it on a person-to-person scale. We almost, runners that are used to running big events, almost think of it as happening naturally, right? It just happens. But there's a lot that goes into that. And as you said, that involves a lot of coordination and learning as you go. You had mentioned, so the courses remain pretty much the same. Obviously, more runners. How has the community expo and that sort of side of things changed during the time that you've been there?
Well, it's gotten much larger. Mm-hmm. We went from probably 50,000 square feet to 125,000 square feet in a matter of years. I'm sorry. Yeah, 125,000 square feet in a matter of years, just a few years. There are a lot of local vendors that depend upon the Gasparilla Expo for the majority of their livelihood throughout the year. They do a few other events, but we're here in their market. They don't have to pay for a hotel room. Any of those expenses, they just come in, do their thing and, you know, take the proceeds and live off them for the rest of the year. Then you've got groups that, that travel around to races, some 52 weekends a year, they find some place to go. And again, that's their livelihood. So the expo is not only a big part of what the runners look forward to, but it's also something that our vendors look forward to too. It's their opportunity to reach out and touch our participants and vice versa. We're very proud of our expo and we're hopeful that we're going to be able to build it back up in 2022. It was a baby expo in 2021. But we made it the biggest and best that we could under the circumstances. I go to Chicago, I go to Boston, some other events regionally where we promote the race. We have a booth at their expos and they do a great job with their expos. They really, really do. They don't do any better of a job than we do. Any of our board members that I take with me they always say that, we can stand shoulder to shoulder, with the larger races that have much larger staffs and much larger budgets. And that's something that we all take a great deal of pride in.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I was just going to say that I think it's one of the best expos I've been to. It's very personal. It's very easy to navigate. And it's very inspiring. It really gets you excited for the race and the culture of Gasparilla, and in particular of Tampa, I think is very much on display at the expo. I also have the personal side of it from the vendor side, in that my childhood running mentor and the owner of the oldest running store in the U.S. now, Mark Bauman, comes down every year from Flint.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. So I always volunteer with him, and I volunteer with Run Tampa at the expo as well. It's a great, great expo, and I love all the people I meet there. And like those people, I use that experience to learn about and to make connections with people, and just be inspired for this podcast as well. So I'm really grateful. You guys do such a great job too. Let's get to the last couple questions, because I know these are ones that you probably have a lot to say after seeing the organization for so many years. What advice do you have for young runners or for folks that are new to, you know, distance running or to a half marathon, for example? What have you seen be successful, and what advice do you have for them?
You know, it's so easy to be a runner. All you need is a pair of shoes, preferably a pair of running shoes that are going to be good for your feet. But just get out there and start walking. And then, you know, the saying, you've got to crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run. It's a true statement. Just go out there. And if it's something that you find enjoyable, you're going to be motivated to keep going. And we're seeing more and more kids in this sport. I mean, more and more competitive kids in this sport. And that's where we need it to grow. For the longest time, you know, the largest age group was 45 to 55. And we're starting to see that go down, which tells us that we are getting more young people involved in the sport. So there's no other event where, and I know you've heard this before, Mark, where you could be on a running course with an Olympian, you know, or an elite athlete. I mean, Meb Keflezighi is with us every year now. He's a part of our family, and you can go up and reach out and touch him. There are not a whole lot of professional athletes that you can do that with, like you can with running. So it can only be good for you, and in so many ways, mentally, physically, emotionally. Running just has so much to offer. So I would just say, get a pair of shoes and get out there, you know, and invite your mom or dad to go out there with you and run with you. It could be something that you can do together. And you said you ran with your grandparents. That's a prime example. And when you're out there doing it, you're going to make memories that they're just going to be with you for a lifetime. So, running offers a lot.
Absolutely. That's a great parting message and a great message for the start of the new year when this podcast will be dropping. I'll be linking to Run Gasparilla, obviously, and also to those organizations that we talked about. Is there any last thing that you wish all people knew about Gasparilla?
We've gone through a very tough time over the last 18 months, and we've had to make decisions that were not popular decisions. We did our best throughout, and I would just ask people to remember and respect the fact that there are real people that are working very hard to just with Gasparilla to get the public's Gasparilla Distance Classic on the road. And we are all very passionate about what we do, and we don't do it for us. We do it for them. That's all I would ask is just think about when you come out, like what you said, what it took. How much effort it took to get the public's Gasparilla Distance Classic race weekend on the road for another year. There are real people behind what's going on. And my last parting word is, if you know any race directors, any of your listeners know any race directors, there's a question when somebody introduces me as Gasparilla's race director, always the first question is, that's a full-time job? You do that full-time? And after I want to pop them, I explain to them exactly what it takes to put on a running event. It doesn't matter if there's 500 people running or 30,000 people running. It takes a lot to dot those I's and cross those T's.
It sure does. Well, thank you for dotting and crossing all you do throughout the year. And can't wait to be running myself and sharing Gasparilla Distance Classic again with as many people as we can get in Tampa Bay and throughout the world. So thank you for your work.
Thanks, Mark. It was great to chat with you. Really was.
Thank you so much. And happy running.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And here's another great episode of The Running Anthropologist. Thank you for joining us for episode number 60. It's been, as usual, I feel like I'm repeating this often, but it's been a different year. And there's a lot to reflect on. And for me, there's a lot of gratitude in just being able to run, to get outdoors, to be with friends, to connect on the road or the trails. And maybe, just maybe, if we get lucky, get to go to a big event safely, like the Gasparilla Distance Classic. The only impossible journey is the one we never begin. So let's begin right here. Making a vow for 2022 to be the best version of ourselves, to invest in ourselves, to invest in our community, and to care more and more about this thing we call running community, running culture, whatever you want to call it. Getting moving, recognizing that movement is medicine, and that movement gives weight and breadth and depth to the soul. However you choose to move, walk, running, even moving in your own little corner, wherever you are. I'm glad that we can connect to the larger community, and I hope to hear from you you can reach out on Instagram or on the blog site at Running Anthropologist and share with us things that inspire you. You're also welcome to join us for one of our weekly movement retreats on Insight Timer. I'll post those links in the blog site and in the show notes. And of course, to connect with Susan or Ron Gasparilla. If you have questions for them or just want to come down to Tampa, volunteer, be here race weekend. We'd love to have you, and I'd love to connect with you. In either case, wherever you are, beginning of ending of 1 year, beginning of a new, wishing you and yours happy running.